Pittsburgh Steelers fans, welcome back to another episode of the Steelers Postgame Show. I'm Jeff Hartman, editor of BehindTheSteelCurtain.com, and I'm not going solo today. I'm with my co-host, typically for The Standard is a Standard, our flagship podcast, but Lance Williams joins me for some postgame talk after the Steelers fall flat defensively and lose to Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. Lance, real quick, knee-jerk reactions. What are your thoughts on the game and the Steelers as they head into Week 3?
They're a bad football team, and we're lucky as fans of this team that they have 14 to go, and it's a long season. But right now, they're ill-prepared from a personnel standpoint. They're bad as well on the defensive side of football. They're just a bad football team right now.
Yeah, I'm not disagreeing with you at all, but I would preface that with saying they're a bad defense right now. And the offense has some issues, but, I mean, when you put up 37 points, in my opinion, 37 points and you had a missed field goal, that should be enough to win. So I want to focus on the defense to start because I believe that's where we should start. I just want to read some statistics out there in case you missed the game. Patrick Mahomes absolutely dissected this Steelers defense. And I said this on Twitter during the game. There's only one other player I've ever seen look so calm and collected and just shredding the defense with ease. And that's none other than Tom Brady. Mahomes did whatever he wanted. He had open options on every single play. He finished 23 of 28, 326 yards. He averaged 11.6 yards per pass, 6 touchdowns, 0 interceptions, was sacked once for 4 yards, and had almost a perfect pass rating of 154.8. But it gets better, folks. Listen to the receiving numbers that they had. Travis Kelce, 7 catches, 109, 2 touchdowns. Sammy Watkins, 6 catches, 100, 0 touchdowns. Tyreek Hill, 5 catches, 90 yards, 1 touchdown. Chris Conley had a touchdown. Kareem Hunt had a receiving touchdown. Demarcus Robinson had a touchdown. I feel like I'm Oprah Winfrey. You get a touchdown. You get a touchdown. Everyone's getting touchdowns, but they had three receivers go over almost to 100 yards. Tyreek Hill was 10 yards short. And so you're thinking, man, the pass defense sucks. What else is new? But then you look at the rushing numbers. Kareem Hunt had 18 rushes for 75 yards, averaging 4.2 per carry. And on a day where he didn't get the ball much, when the Steelers needed to stop, how did they give up first downs? On the ground. It was embarrassing. I can't say that I've said that too many times when watching the Steelers, that it was embarrassing. But even as a fan, watching the game in my house, in my living room, I was shaking my head, especially in the first quarter, just stunned by how bad they looked. What else is there to say, Lance? I mean, this defense didn't look like they could stop anyone. Now, is this more about the Kansas City offense or is this more about the Steelers defense?
It's about both. The defense, from a personnel standpoint, isn't better than last year without Ryan Shazier. We know that. Bostic is not good enough to replace him. We all know that. But we also found out that the good game that he played against Njoku in the first game for the Browns was an aberration. He's not good enough, or Vince Williams are not good enough to carry tight ends. Communication issues on the back end, bad. But it's also Kansas City. That personnel, as long as that pass protection shows up every week for Kansas City, they're going to score a lot of points. They're super multiple on offense. They have a strong arm rookie quarterback that's willing to throw it into tight windows. The offensive line was outstanding, giving him a ton of time. I mean, this was a team that went to 11 personnel, 3 wide receivers, snapping the ball on the 1-yard line with a 5-step drop with a rookie quarterback on the road. You know, that says everything about just how they felt about this Steeler defense. They felt the defense couldn't get pressure and that Mahomes, on top of that, was going to make good decisions with the football, and they did both. Kudos to Kansas City. Tip your cap, but this team was not prepared, and they did not execute well. We talked about it last week about preparation versus execution. You come out the first play of the game, they beat you on special teams, setting up the return to the Black Mamba, bang, touchdown, bang. No answers from a preparation standpoint. Offensive script did not work coming out. That's bad preparation. Then you get all of the penalties, can't line up right on special teams. It's just bad. They're not being coached well, and they're not executing. It's a shit show right now in Pittsburgh, and they're being exposed. But Kansas City is going to get a lot of people. If you cannot get pressure on Mahomes, they have so many weapons, and they do so many things from a formation standpoint, they are going to light up a bunch of people, but they're atrocious on defense. So they're going to have to play fantasy football to win football games.
Well, and I think throughout this mess that was the Steelers week two game against the Chiefs, I think the Steelers offense might have found, I don't want to say their identity because it was just so lopsided, but I do think they found their recipe for success, and that is in their hurry up, no huddle offense, which was very good. And they really tired out the Kansas City defense. The problem was, is that Mahomes and the Chiefs were scoring so quickly, and it was taking the Steelers a lot longer to put up points. It was tough to match blow for blow when you have that issue. Now, the Steelers offensively, let's talk about statistics on that side of the football. Roethlisberger finished 39 of 60. He threw the ball 60 times for 452 yards. He had 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. He did get sacked once for a rating of 104.3. Receiving-wise, Jesse James led the way, 5 receptions on 5 targets for 138 and a touchdown. Juju Smith-Schuster had 13 receptions on 19 targets for 121 and a touchdown. Antonio Brown, we're going to hear about him. I'll talk about it in a second. 9 receptions for 67 yards, no touchdowns. He was targeted 17 times. And then the only other reception we went for a touchdown was rookie James Washington. First catch, first touchdown, 14 yards. And you know what the thing is as bad as the Steelers looked defensively, there were times, especially after the second quarter, where I was like, holy crap, this team, as bad as they're playing, could possibly win the game. But here is where it gets bad. And I wrote an article last week for the website about how the Steelers always fail and struggle to find the ever elusive balance on offense. So we talked, Lance and I were texting during the game, and I said after the second series, it's time to scrap the plan. And Lance disagreed, and we'll talk about that in a second. But it seems as if they did. They went no huddle, and they're just going to throw the rock to get back into it. I mean, James Conner finishes with 8 carries for 17 yards. He did score a touchdown. Ben Roethlisberger is the second leading rusher with 2 carries for 9 yards, and he had a touchdown. The team overall had 13 carries for 13 yards in a 4-quarter game, and they threw the ball 60 times. Now, if I say scrap the game plan, I'm not saying to do that. I was just more talking about different options that you could have when it came to how to open things up and how to help maximize your success on the offensive side of the ball. Offensively, Lance, what did you get a feel for? What can you take away from this loss? Because they did put up a lot of points.
I think you have to be a little bit smarter. And realize that you have 3 quarters to get back into the game. I mean, I love the way they came back 21-21 to get back at halftime. And that's a credit to them and a credit to the fact that they have a Hall of Fame quarterback. The problem is, although you scored 37 points, they had to slow this game down. I mean, they needed to slow this game down tremendously and mix a little bit more run in there and have a little bit more balance. Because I think what fans don't realize is when you're under siege like that defense was, you have to slow the game down to, one, keep your defense off the field because they're not playing well. 2, you have to slow it down to give your defensive staff some time to come up with an adjustment. You just have to. If you're going to play this ping pong, you know, score for score type offense and try to just throw it to get back, you better score. Because, you know, if the drives aren't longer, there's just no time for this coaching staff to make any adjustments. And there weren't any adjustments to be made as well, because Kansas City had an answer everywhere. You know, I saw some comments on Twitter about, you know, how does Artie Burns get caught in man coverage? Well, they spread 5 options out in the routes. You know, you can't play zone up top. You can't protect him. You know, Tariq Hill's outside the boundary. That's going to be one-on-one coverage. He has to play better there. So they had an answer everywhere on the offensive side of football. But if you don't give the coaching staff some time to just breathe to kind of figure out what you want to do differently, because we noticed when the Steelers possessed the ball in the second quarter, the defense played a little bit better. I don't know if that's namely a adjustment that the coordinators made, but just when the game slowed down a bit, they played a little bit better. They got back into it. I would have liked to have seen a few more runs mixed into it, but you know, when they got down 14 in the second half, I mean, at that point, the game is running out. You have to chuck it. But 60 passes and 15, 16 rushing attempts, that's not going to get it, because you're rarely going to have a game in which your quarterback can throw it 60 times and not turn it over. And that's just not going to get it. You got to find something different. And this was my fear, that with Randy Feitner and Ben being more in charge of the offense, that you would get it tilted like this in situations. And that's just not good enough. They're going to have to find a balance on both sides of the ball and play better.
Absolutely. And so the Steelers are now 0-1-1. They find themselves tied at the bottom of the AFC North with the Cleveland Browns, who also lost today to the Raiders, or I'm sorry, to the Saints, I think. They lost today. And then you have the Ravens are 1-1, and the Cincinnati Bengals sole possession of first at 2-0. So the Steelers are now going to have more drama on their hands this week. I'm preparing fans for it now, because if you're thinking, okay, well, Le'Veon Bell stuff is kind of over, well, get ready for the Antonio Brown stuff. Not only did Antonio Brown on the sideline kind of get in Randy Feitner's face, he left the stadium today without speaking with reporters. He got dressed and left immediately with his agent, Drew Rosenhaus. He was upset at times during the game. There was one play, it was the pass play before Roethlisberger scrambled in for the touchdown. If you watch Roethlisberger's reaction after the pass, thinking it went to Juju Smith-Schuster on the check down, which was a dumb throw, throw it away instead to save time. Antonio Brown must have been complaining or something, and it just looked to me, and I'm not someone that reads lips, but it seemed like Roethlisberger said, you need to shut up and quit being a baby, or something like that. There's some issues there, and you can tell Roethlisberger and AB aren't on the same page. How concerning is that for you, Lance, moving forward?
Well, I'm not concerned at all. They put up 37 points. I'm concerned about that 42 points they gave up. I mean, look, wide receivers are divas. They get upset. Guys are going to be mad after games. Hell, I'd rather AB be pissed off after this performance and leave than just be comfortable and give the rote answers of, oh, we just have time. We have 14 more games. You know, we're just building. You know, whatever, man. He's upset. He's pissed. They should be pissed. This was a shit show performance at home. They're 0-1-1 in a division. Let's just all let it play out. But they've got some serious issues on the defensive side of football. And they're going to play a hot Tampa Bay Buccaneer team, I believe, on Monday night, who just lit up Philadelphia with Ryan Fitzpatrick. And they're throwing it all over the yard as well. And best believe they see the matchup issue, because they're bringing in the rookie tight end, or second-year tight end, Howard from Alabama, to get on Bostic and Vince Williams, Vinny. So I'm not concerned at all. I'm concerned about that defense that got one sack and gave up 42 points at home to a second-start quarterback.
Yeah. Now, I will say that it looks like the hope is, I should say, that Joe Hayden comes back. Joe Hayden returning to that secondary, big deal to you?
Definitely a big deal. I mean, he's their best corner. He's better than Arnie Burns. He's better than Sutton. He's better than all those guys. Adding your best corner back to a defense that just gave up 42, that's going on, you know, it's going to be playing a DeSean Jackson. Absolutely. That's a big deal.
Okay. I think he'll be back. All reports prior to the game today was that Hayden had a pretty good warm-up, meaning he was out there working before the game. He tweeted out before the game that he'll be back soon. That game is on Monday night next week, so it gives him an extra day. If that means anything, he'll be playing in Tampa Bay. It's a little bit warmer. That typically bodes well for any type of injury, like a muscle pull. It's kind of disappointing. As a positive guy, as an optimist, if those that listen to our Standard is a Standard show, they know that I always try to find the positives in things. I can't think of anything. And if you want to talk about... If you want to talk about one of the, if you want to talk about winners and losers, there are some players that I think deserve the winner tag, like Jesse James. I thought Juju Smith-Schuster had a great game. And I thought Ben Roethlisberger, he was a little erratic at times, but I thought he played well under the circumstances. But boy, on the losers list, man, what is going on with the Steelers kicking game? Because Chris Boswell misses a 49-yarder. And I know that's not a gimme, but he misses a 49-yarder. He then misses an extra point, forces the Steelers to have to convert on a set on a two-point conversion. He is 0-for-2 in field goals so far this year. This is coming off the heels of signing a brand new deal where he's making $4 million a season. And then Jordan Berry just continues to be awful. And he was the guy that I ripped on Wednesday night, Lance. And I said that he's, you can't tell me there's not someone else out there. And I know he had a 59-yard kick that pinned the Chiefs at the one, which resulted in a safety. But other than that, it was awful. I mean, it was awful. I mean,
You're right. I mean, you called that one. I mean, hey, pop your collar. You know, pat yourself on the back. I mean, you called that one. And to echo what you're saying, with a defense that's this bad at this point, you can't give up free yards to any offense. Your kicking game needs to be Ray Guy-esque. And, yes, I'm dating myself. For any of you young guys that don't know Ray Guy, go look Ray Guy up. You know, maybe the best punter in NFL history. You need Ray Guy punting. You need directional punting. You need to pin teams. You need to win that field goal battle, or excuse me, field position battle. Because this defense is just not good enough right now. Pass rush is inconsistent. They're bad on the back end. You can't give up any free yards. And Jordan Berry, you know, essentially pooch punting stuff to the 40 and giving a rookie quarterback on fire half a field, it's not good enough. You know, it's not good enough at all. But let me say this, Jeff, because I got called out on Twitter. I don't know who the person was. And big up, I'm forgetting your name. And, yes, it's not an IKEA couch. I call you Mr. IKEA. What's up to Mr. IKEA? It's not an IKEA couch. But I got called out on Twitter about me not ripping Tomlin. Let me just say this right now. He sucks and they suck because this ain't good enough. And the lack of preparation is showing. And, you know, I hear it every week. Well, they're so talented. Da-da. Maybe they might not be talented, but you can get more out of it. They're not prepared. They did not look prepared today. And this is on Tomlin and that coaching staff. You know, that defense has no answers, and that's to the fault of the defensive coordinator and the head coach, Mike Tomlin. When you come out and give up 21-0 in the first quarter with like 9 minutes to go, you're not prepared, and that's on the coach. He is not doing a good job. So there you have it on Twitter. I rip Tomlin, and I'm not afraid to rip Tomlin. And if they continue to play like this, I will continue to rip Tomlin. So there it is.
Yeah, he deserves a lot of criticism for this game. And although the coordinators might be the ones that kind of design the plans themselves, he's the one that oversees the coordinators. So extreme ownership starts at the top and works its way down. And so with Mike Tomlin, I think when people talk about, oh, they're so talented and all this, and it's true, just like everything else. You know, I've always said to my students or anyone that wants to talk about health and nutrition, you know, some there might be a crooked drug out there. I say, follow the money. You see the advertisements. Well, who's paying for it? That's what I would say. So let's follow the money with the Steelers defense. Where do they have all their money invested in the defense? Stephon Tuitt, Cameron Hayward. They go out and get Morgan Burnett. Joe Hayden doesn't even get through a complete game without getting injured. There's your money right there. Everyone else is basically, I mean, John Bostic, we'll say that. He's not a ridiculously wealthy contract, but he's a free agent pickup. Vince Williams, they just invested in him. Other than that, they have guys that are playing on young talent, but young rookie rosters, rookie contracts. Bud Dupree has got his fifth-year option picked up. I'm telling you, man, there are times as a coach, and Lance, you coach, I coach, where you say, you know what? They were just better. They were the better team today.
Absolutely.
We didn't play well. I don't think this was that game. Now, Patrick Mahomes impressed the hell out of me, but the Steelers defense did little to nothing to pushback. There was no pushback at all. And I find it frustrating. Cameron Hayward and Stephon Tuitt were basically a wash the entire game. TJ Watt, for as great as he looked last week going against Chris Hubbard, it was Chris Hubbard. Bud Dupree, it's the same old story with Bud. I mean, he's when your note is more for jumping off sides than you are getting to the quarterback, that's
yeah,
a problem.
Yeah, that's bad. Dud Dupree.
Yeah. And then, I don't know. It's just, to some of the stuff boggles my mind. Everyone's like, oh, what a great play by Hayward, that hustle play to cause the fumble. Tremendous play. What you're forgetting is that Mike Hilton and two other Steelers whiffed on tackles prior to the fumble.
Right.
That's what I say. So, I mean, right, you have that stuff going on. So, Lance, what are your thoughts moving forward in terms of the team's not going to make drastic changes now? This is basically the team that they have. Moving forward, what's the deal? What's going to happen? What are they looking at?
I think structurally on defense, particularly when you're in some third and medium to long situations, they're going to have to take Bostic off the field. I mean, I think they're going to have to go to, what do they call it in the preseason? The silver dollar?
The dollar.
I think they're going to have to put in multiple DBs in those situations because both your inside linebackers cannot cover. Vertically, they're challenged when tight ends are running the seam. So that puts them in a bad situation. So I think they're going to have to change it there, probably play more dime in some of those situations and get more speed and more playmakers on the field. As far as up front and getting pressure, I think it's going to have to come from being, blitzing creatively. I don't think, as good as Tuitt and Hayward are, they're just not down guys that are going to consistently get pressure. So I think you're going to have to, kind of mix in more blitz there and play more DBs behind it to kind of challenge the windows and the voids on those throws. Just because, they were getting Kelce anytime they wanted. They were getting anything in the seam anytime they wanted. And maybe Kansas City is just that team where they have so many weapons that they can just dictate and get after any defense. But I think they're going to have to blitz more, play more coverage on the back end, more dime, and take some of those linebackers off in those passing situations. Offensively, balance it out a little bit more, but still be aggressive in the passing game.
Yeah, the balance, the blitzing, they did in the second half. They blitzed a lot, and they just never got home. They were unable to get to Mahomes. It seemed like he read the plays. I don't know if this kid's that good, but he certainly looked that good. And the Steelers helped him look that good. I'm not saying it was all him. Hey, kudos to that kid for throwing 6 touchdowns, almost having a perfect game. But offensively, you're right. I mean, the Steelers can't just throw the ball 60 times a game. It's just not going to work. And they need to find creative ways of getting the ball downfield because it's this chuck and pray stuff is not working. Whether it's James Washington today, they tried a couple times. What really pisses me off is not only their play design at times, it's when they attack downfield. It just makes no sense. Like you pointed out earlier today, it was a second or third and one, and they take a shot downfield to James Washington. It's not even close. Ball goes out of bounds. And now you're faced with a third and one. Get the first down and then take a shot on first and 10. They're trying to catch them off guard, and I know the pre-snap look might lead them to think that, okay, a single high safety might give them an option down the sideline. But this team has a lot of work to do. It's the first time since I think 2013, when they went 0-4 to start the season, that they've gone winless in their first two games. So it's not good. And it's not going to get any easier if you look at their next few games. They have Monday night at Tampa Bay, then they come back for a Sunday night game against the Ravens, and then they have a game against the Falcons at home. That's a tough road to hoe, my friend. What are your expectations for this team moving forward?
It's tough to say. We asked the question on last week's show, is it time to panic? Absolutely, it's time to panic. When you say those three games, it's time to panic, but it's not time to jump off the bridge. I mean, you really, I think there's an opportunity to go on a road and beat Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay is playing good football. I mean, the issue is defensively. I just don't know where the answers are, particularly with those two inside linebackers, as susceptible as they're going to be in pass coverage. I foresee that teams are going to continue to spread them out and go after them if they think they can protect it. I mean, it is a bad sign with a rookie quarterback in the end zone going 11 person. Really good rookie quarterback, and And you see, if they were out, they were just out at every at the Steelers. The Steelers did not buff. It's going to be very tough. They're going to have to start winning up front to give those linebackers in coverage some help and to give the coverage and help. They need all hands on deck. They need Joe Hayden back. No Joe Hayden back. If he doesn't play to the Tampa Bay game, it's going to be tough on him. So, you know, scratch out a win on Tampa Bay, and you know, maybe you can scratch out one against the Ravens. But I don't think anybody right now is scared of the pass rush, so they're going to get attacked in the passing game.
Right. I think it comes down to, like you said, preparation. Then this team, yeah, has to come out with a fire under their belly. I mean, I think maybe some of the – you can kind of see that this team sometimes rests on their laurels a little bit. They might have looked at last week's Cleveland game and said, you know, the defense was okay. That's what the media was saying. That's what we were saying. Defense is not okay. So if you're not spending extra time in the film room and meeting with coaches and stuff this week, then there's something wrong with you. And that goes all the way up to the top, man, extreme ownership. So there you go. Well, that's about it. I think we spent enough time talking about this shit show, like you said. So, Lance, I thank you for your time. Listeners, if you haven't checked out BehindTheSteelCurtain.com before or regularly, make sure you do so. We'll have a lot of good post-game stuff up today, as well as throughout the week as we now prepare for the Monday night football game next week in week 3. Make sure you check out the Steelers Hangover. That'll be tomorrow night. Wednesday night, Lance and I will be back.
It's a hell of a hangover.
That is a heck of a hangover. And then obviously we'll have a preview show coming up on Thursday night to preview the upcoming game with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So Steelers lose today in embarrassing fashion to Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. Their record is now 0-1-1, and we're headed to week 3. We'll see you next time.